If you haven't tried Super Beats Heart Chews, you're missing out. Super Beats Heart Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. And the grapeseed extract used in Super Beats Heart Chews is clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure than a healthy lifestyle alone. Now you can take just 2 chews a day. They taste like chewy Starburst. They're delicious. Anytime, anywhere to get the blood pressure support that you want. And if you love Super Beats Heart Chews, you'll love their all new delicious vitamin D3 chews. Now, vitamin D3 has been in the news a lot for its ability to support immune health. And Humanin's all-new vitamin D3 chews provide high-potency vitamin D3 for a convenient and delicious way to support your immune health year-round. And now, you can get a free bag of vitamin D3 chews and a free bag of Super Beats Heart Chews when you buy 2 bags of Super Beats Heart Chews at danasbeats.com. That's a free bag of the vitamin D3 chews and heart chews with your order of 2 bags of heart chews. Visit danasbeats.com.
Mayor, so I know that you, as you said, you talked to Secretary Mayorkas, but I also, you have been trying to tag President Biden on Twitter. Have you heard from him or his office or Vice President's office?
Not directly from the Vice President or President's office, unfortunately. I have been just trying to spread the dire situation here. Right now, because of the conversation I had with Secretary Mayorkas, I now feel that his office is fully aware of the situation here happening in real time.
And would you want them to visit here?
I know that I was speaking about visiting. I think the public needs to know about the transparency, what's happening in the city of Del Rio, Texas, and I just feel that the White House definitely needs to address the situation in real time and let the American people know what's happening at their southern border.
Well, that's the latest, southern border. So people have an idea of what's happening. I think people who live in and around Texas kind of have an idea what's happening. We kind of know what's going on down here. Welcome to the radio program, nationally syndicated radio show, danalash.com. Good to be with you today, Monday, ladies and gentlemen. A brand new week, lots of things to unpack. Of course, we've got some UN stuff that's happening this week, which, as we roll into that, we'll share all of the latest with you. So did you guys see some of the images, by the way? I was tweeting about, I only like tweeted one thing about it, a couple of things about it over the weekend, because I am trying to not work over the weekend. Tweeted like one or two things about it over the weekend. So I know that there was this rally that I really don't know a heck of a lot about. And that what was it in support of the January 6th rioters or protesters or what was that?
Yeah.
So something like that. So I was watching just some of the footage, et cetera, that had to do with the, I guess, the rally and the people who were, I guess, supporting the people who were there rallying, or which I guess is different from the, I don't really know what the hell happened because I didn't pay attention to it. But people treated it like, oh, there's going to be another domestic terrorist attack. There's going to be another coup attempt. That's what I do know. That's what I do remember, is that that's the way that people treated it. And so there were more press that were there than there were actual attendees, and more SWAT people there than there were actual attendees. There were also people who were undercover who were really bad at hiding the fact that they were undercover. There was a video of a guy, I posted it on my Instagram stories, a video of a guy who was arrested. Oh, he was approached by a bunch of SWAT, I guess, SWAT team. And he was arrested, and they said, can you show us your ID? And he pulls out a badge, like the whole thing like you see on television, the black wallet badge where he's got the badge and the wallet and all that. And the guy was like, are you undercover? It's like, well, not really, I guess, anymore, is he? Because there's a video camera here, and it clearly shows that he's not undercover anymore. So there was a lot of stuff that I was making fun of about that because it deserved to be made fun of. So we have this situation with this whole rally. And by the way, if you see me dying on camera, it's because I poked myself in the eye. I'm dying right now, so I can't hardly see. I love doing television for radio. Can't hardly see. So the rally that took place, I think there were only like 4 people arrested. And I saw more what they call Fed boys, BOIS. I saw more Fed boys there than I saw anybody else. Can you imagine having that response at the border? They had like 14,000, almost 15,000 people that were underneath the bridge, that the interstate highway there in Del Rio. Oh, yeah. Yeah, about 15. It was over 14,000 people. And it would be great if there was that kind of attention that was actually given to what was happening there at the border. It would be great. So we're going to get into that a little bit. When we left you on Friday, the press conference hadn't yet happened with CENTCOM and General McKenzie, and the Pentagon, CENTCOM came out. They held a press conference saying that they actually did drone to death 10 innocent people, including 7 children there in Afghanistan. And the weird thing is that when he was speaking about all of this, General McKenzie wasn't actually saying that. He wouldn't actually say where we got our intel. He wouldn't say where we got our intel. He was just, all he would say is that, you know, they stand by the intelligence that got all these innocent people killed. Listen to this.
I'm here to brief the results of the investigation I directed following the report of civilian casualties from our strike in Kabul on 29 August. Having thoroughly reviewed the findings of the investigation and the supporting analysis by interagency partners, I am now convinced that as many as 10 civilians, including up to 7 children, were tragically killed in that strike. Moreover, we now assess that it is unlikely that the vehicle and those who died were associated with ISIS-K or were a direct threat to U.S. forces. I offer my profound condolences to the family and friends of those who were killed. This strike was taken in the earnest belief that it would prevent an imminent threat to our forces and the evacuees at the airport. But it was a mistake, and I offer my sincere apology.
Well, that's okay. Good. Your sincere apology is definitely going to make that family that just lost 10 people, it's going to make them feel all better, for sure. It's going to make them feel completely better. Yeah, positive about that. So that doesn't change anything. I mean, I understand that there's things that happen in the fog of war. I get that. But this is ridiculous. I mean, that's when we still had boots on the ground. That took place on October 29th. That's when we still had boots on the ground. That's when we still had some information and way to be able to get information there. There's no excuse for it. I mean, the only way they wouldn't answer the press as to how they got this intel. But what they would say is that they stand by it. The intelligence that brought on this tragedy. So in addition to all of this, we're going to get into some coronavirus stuff here in a little bit, because I know everybody saw the video of that San Francisco mayor, London Breed. She felt the spirit. We're going to talk about this here coming up. And because, have you noticed that whether it was the Emmys or the Met, I didn't watch the Emmys because I just don't care. I don't watch anything that comes out of Hollywood anymore. Everything's trash. Everything's garbage. It's the same stupid story that's repeated over and over and over again with actors that aren't really so much as cast by merit, but whether or not they are woke. I'm so tired of it. There's not one single thing that's come out of Hollywood so far just this year that I've really thoroughly enjoyed, except for maybe the Tomorrow's War. I kind of enjoyed that. Yeah, I enjoy that because I like that kind of action. I like those stories. Instead, I marathoned a whole bunch of anime over the weekend. I purposely didn't work at all. I was like, I'm not working. I'm done. I watched like 24 seasons of Devil's Line or 24 episodes of Devil's Line Saturday night. Yeah, I did. I totally did. And I don't apologize. I feel like that meme with the Joker. I'm tired of pretending that it's not. So we're going to get into the latest with coronavirus and all that stuff as well. And how now America, Biden's revising the entry for international visitors. America is going to require international visitors to get coronavirus jabs, even if they're already immune or they've recently tested negative. We're going to talk about that because none of that's ever actually included. But hey, just wear your mask and it's going to be okay, right? Your 2-year-old has to wear a mask on the airplane, but London Breed doesn't have to wear a mask because Tony haven't performed together in 25 years, and they moved her. And so she felt like she just really didn't need to. Spirit. Yeah, the spirit moved her, which is going to be my excuse for everything coming up. So we're going to get into all of that, too. And we got 2 guests on deck for you today. We're going to be speaking with former Border Patrol Chief Mark Morgan. We're also, of course, we have our favorite Stephen Yates foreign policy expert. We're going to break down a bunch of stuff with him, including this AUKUS thing that I've written about. I wrote about it last week because I know everybody was going to have their dumb hot takes over the rest of the week and also over this weekend, because I'm tired of, yes, you could have finessed it with France a little bit. That's the Biden administration, of course. And here's the thing. Do not make me defend the Biden administration. This is the one thing that they didn't entirely screw up. Because a lot of this is on France. Yes, I think that they should have absolutely have, I don't know, maybe engaged diplomacy and tried to bring France in. That was probably a good thing to try to do. But they didn't do that. So now we have this big mess. However, France couldn't deliver a contract on time and on budget. So that's on them. We're going to get into all of that as well. So we have a lot on the way. If you haven't tried Super Beats Heart Chews, you're missing out. Super Beats Heart Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. And the grapeseed extract used in Super Beats Heart Chews is clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure than a healthy lifestyle alone. Now you can take just 2 chews a day. They taste like chewy Starburst. They're delicious. Anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support that you want. And if you love Super Beats Heart Chews, you'll love their all-new delicious vitamin D3 chews. Now, vitamin D3 has been in the news a lot for its ability to support immune health. And Humanin's all-new vitamin D3 chews provide high-potency vitamin D3 for a convenient and delicious way to support your immune health year-round. And now, you can get a free bag of vitamin D3 chews and a free bag of Super Beats Heart Chews when you buy 2 bags of Super Beats Heart Chews at danasbeats.com. That's a free bag of the vitamin D3 chews and heart chews with your order of 2 bags of heart chews. Visit danasbeats.com.
Of all your favorite talk hosts, one of these is not like the others. The Dana Show.
Sorry. Thank you, John. I have 2 separate questions. So the first one is on the 29th attack. As General McKinsey said, the statement from CENTCOM on that day, at the end, it mentioned the possibility of civilian casualties. Mm-hmm. So I'm still wondering why General Milley, on September 1st, still called this this strike righteous attack.
I think General McKinsey answered that question quite well, Fadi. I'm not sure that I can add to that. And I'm not going to speak for Chairman Milley. But as you saw from General McKinsey, within 24 hours of an indication that there could have been civilian casualties, he launched an investigation, as is his responsibility. And he just completed it. And they did it fairly quickly, but I think they wanted to take the time to be as contextual as possible. So I think he already spoke to that.
Hmm. Yeah, but I mean, you said it within 24 hours, but General Milley came back on September 1st. That's more than 24 hours. And still
again,
called
Fadi, again, I'm not gonna relitigate the past statements here.
Oh, you're not gonna relitigate it? Okay, sure.
As General McKinsey mentioned, every leader in the department that spoke to this in the moment that it was spoken to
what
was
the hell does that
speaking
mean? In the
to
moment
you in good
when
faith
they spoke
based
to it,
on
the moment that I can't deal with it anymore.
Had.
I'm dying. I am dying. We're all dying. Jiminy Christmas. These people. This is just, it's just beyond. And that was just on Friday after we left, after we had our time together. Then you have these, then you had CENTCOM come out. Yeah, well, we blew up some people. There's not going to be any disciplinary action. And additionally, we're just not gonna. Yeah, we're not gonna. We still trust. We still trust all of this too. We still trust everybody. Good heavens! Welcome back to the show, DanaLash.com, and it's good to be with you guys today. This I just still think that there's so many unanswered questions in all of this, and we still don't know the number of Americans. We still don't know the number of civs that are over in Afghanistan. But hey, let's send everybody to the border. Let's build another wall around DC. Let's try to focus on everything else other than, I really think he's really trying to move this. He doesn't want to hang on this because this has really tanked his favorability. Let's go into headlines. We got a lot.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
I believe that children are our future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. Week 3 of college football continues new tradition of blank Joe Biden chants. It's F Joe Biden chants. That's what they are. No, I am not absolutely, and nor should you. No, nor should you either. in any way. All these kids should get A's. But they, have you noticed this? It's the new thing that everybody's doing at all of these games, is they're screaming at blank Joe Biden. Mediaite has this, well, not Mediaite, this is actually Reuters. I don't know why. Oh, because Mediaite wrote about it and I copied all of this. This link anyway. SpaceX, major historic all-civilian flight successfully splashed down off of the Florida coast. And this took place on Saturday, a little bit after, it was about 6 p.m. our time, 7 Eastern. It was inspiration for a SpaceX Dragon craft. Took off from Kennedy Space Center's launch pad 39A Wednesday using a Falcon 9 reusable rocket. Don't even know what that means, but anything sounds that names Falcon sounds cool. The four crew members and the founder of CEO and CEO of Shift 4 Payments, they were all on board. And the mission raised money for St. Jude's. Not a single mention of it by the President of the United States. I wonder if it's because it was a private sector thing. Just curious. I mean, they raised money for the love. Manny Pacquiao is going to run for president of the Philippines. You know, this was just a matter of time. He's like revered by people, and he's very, very, he's been very involved politically there. 42 years old. I can't believe he's 42. He is a icon. He is just so, I mean, I've watched so many of his fights, and I also watched when he squared off against Mayweather. Pacquiao has been incredibly outspoken to his opposition to current president Rodrigo Duterte, and in an attempt to maintain power, I mean, their president now is trying to run for VP. He's kind of pulling a Putin where he and Medvedev would change spots every now and then. But now Manny Pacquiao wants to run, and he's just, it's so fast. He's amazing. I think maybe he does need to transition out of boxing. You know, you have the exhibition fights. That's one thing, but you know, he's been in it for a long time. And there is a lifespan on that stuff. But he's just, I mean, he's a legend. He's one of the greats. Koalas are going extinct. By the way, I did not realize they were jerks. No, apparently they're just major jerk faces. Did you know this about koalas?
I've seen a couple videos.
I read an article over the weekend, because when I first saw this and I was saving this, I was like, how are they going extinct? It's like when you think of Australia, what do you think of? Getting kicked in the neck by a kangaroo, right? Snakes and scary spiders, but mainly koalas, right? And so they have the Australia Koala Foundation that monitors their populations. So they want a Koala Protection Act. They say that they're going extinct. There's few as 30,000, maybe because they're jerks. And apparently, don't they get like, I'm trying to figure out how I can say this. Aren't they skanks? Like, don't they have like crazy bad like STDs and they're just jerks? Yeah, they look like cuddly little teddy bears, but apparently they're really ignorant. Which kind of endears them to me more, right? I really kind of feel like I love them more after this. But save these animals. Save them. Do whatever you can. Save them. So that's kind of sad news about the koala bears. I know. Let's see. We have a lot more on the way. So coming up, we're going to go over how to spot a Fed boy. I just think I am endlessly amused by this. And what other things can we get the spirit not have to do? Like laws, I mean. Stay with us. We got a lot. Whether you're brewing the perfect cup of coffee before heading to work or cracking open a can of 300 on your next backcountry mission, Black Rifle Coffee Company is here to fuel wherever life takes you. Black Rifle Coffee Company is a veteran-owned coffee company, and they serve premium coffee to people who love America. They develop explosive roast profiles and experiment with new roasting methods with mission focus to bring you the best coffee possible. Black Rifle Coffee Company is committed to supporting veterans, law enforcement, and first responders by giving back with every purchase you make. This summer, Black Rifle Coffee Company invites you to enjoy your coffee, not just in the great taste of America's coffee, but also the places you drink it and the passion and adventure it fuels. Take Black Rifle Coffee Company with you anywhere with their ready-to-drink cans and on-the-go packs. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/DanaTV to find what inspires you. Use code DanaTV for 20% off your first coffee club purchase, coffee and select gear. That's 20% off with promo code DanaTV at BlackRifleCoffee.com/DanaTV. Fuel your summer with America's coffee. Black Rifle Coffee.
Your one-stop shop for the information you need to fight back. If you're going to have to learn stuff, you might as well enjoy it. The Dana Show.
I had a good time at the Black Cat, and I think it's sad that this is even a story. The fact is, there was something that was really monumental that occurred,
and that is Tony, the original members, the brothers, Rafael Saadiq and Dwayne Wiggins, who have not performed in public for, I believe, at least over 20 years. They are just really some of the most incredible artists in the history of this country and the Bay Area in particular. And the fact that that is getting lost here is very unfortunate. Not to mention the incredible trumpeteer, Maurice Mobetta Brown, who is
that makes
just
things
phenomenal.
That makes people not get the virus.
Who performed and who really uplifted the spirits of not just myself, but all of the people who were there.
I feel like we needed to play. So I remember, I had ears in the 90s. I know. Tony was big in the 90s. Welcome back, ladies and gents. Dana Lash here. DanaLash.com. I mean, one of my girlfriends was obsessively into Tony. We went, Kane, I went to Six Flags to see them perform when I was in eighth grade.
Oh, yeah.
That was the only concert that my mom thought it acceptable for me to go to with a group.
What was the name of that amphitheater there?
And Six Flags there, outside of St. Louis?
How can I forget that? I've seen a couple of...
They had like everybody there, didn't they?
Yeah.
Swear to you, I saw Tony there. It was crazy, though, too. And that was, and again, welcome back, but I'm now walking down nostalgia lane. That was, hey, other fellow 90s teens, do you remember, especially if you're girls, trapeze dresses? It was a revive of the 60s. You don't remember that because you were with grown women and they didn't dress like fools. It was basically a clown outfit. It was the dumbest thing ever. You'd go to 5, 7, and 9 at the mall. You know, at the mall, you go to 579 at the mall, and then you would go and you would get your y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You get your trapeze dress, right? That's how it went. Oh, so that was San Francisco Mayor London Breed. And ladies and gentlemen, she was pictured at the Black Cat. It's a club in San Francisco. This is Friday when this all was coming out. This is her comment, though, that is new when she was talking about this. And nobody had masks, not a single, because you guys know it's not contagious in San Francisco, provided, ladies and gentlemen, that you have the immunity of being a Democrat. Because the virus, and they're still studying this, so there's not a lot of long-term data that supports anything I'm going to say, or any data at all, but the virus, when it is looking to infect people, it's like, so you know that scene in the Ten Commandments? And it's Passover, right? So it's when you had Moses going out and him and Aaron were putting lamb's blood on all the doors. And then that weird special effect, Cecil B. DeMille smoke was rolling on through the set. That's what the virus does, except it knows if you are a Democrat. And if it is in San Francisco, then it's like, I can't infect these people. Science. I mean, since we're going to go ahead and go back to plague doctor stuff, you might as well. The mask mandate. Now, remember, this mayor had threatened to shut down the city before. I'm going to read a direct quote when she came out with this mask mandate and they were making announcements of it. NBC Bay Area had quoted her as saying, "We don't want to shut down this city any longer than we have to. Our economy and our livelihood and our kids going back to school and everything else in between depends on it," end quote. "The orders require all individuals, regardless of vaccination status, to cover your face when indoors in public settings with limited exceptions." And then here she is. They got cocktail. Go out there and you have fun. You just don't make me wear, I don't want to wear a face mask like you're not wearing a face mask. That's what I think that, you know, I'm also moved by the spirit. Slut, you know, because that's what she said. That's what she was saying. She was saying that it's just, you know, I was not thinking about wearing it. I was feeling the spirit. I wasn't thinking about a mask. And she added audio soundbite 19 that she's not going to eat and drink with it on either. Don't ask.
And from my perspective, you know, I was there, I was eating, and I was drinking, and I was sitting with my friends, and everyone who came in there was vaccinated.
So the fact that we have turned this into a story about being maskless.
No, I'm not going to sip and put my mask on.
While I'm eating and I'm drinking, I'm going to keep my mask off. Oh. And yes, in the end time, while we're drinking, like everyone else there, we were all having a good time. And again, all vaccinated. So the fact that this is even a story is sad.
Give me some Tony, if I had no loot, please. Because I feel like I'm going to get moved by the spirit, too. I don't think this is what I'm going to do every single time now. If anybody sits here and asks me, where's your mask, ma'am? Nah, I am. I'm feeling the spirit. It's like being in church, isn't it? Like, I am being moved by the spirit. You guys remember that this is like 90s, takes you back to the 90s. If you're just feeling the spirit, you don't need to wear a mask. Don't make me karaoke, because I actually know like all their top five songs, so don't you dare do it, because we're going to throw 90s teen down. Who is the 90s teen queen? I'm feeling the spirit, Kane. Just play this on your phone like Joe Biden did Despacito. And every time you like go through the airport and they ask you, just be like, if I had no mask, I just don't know. I'm feeling the spirit right now. I'm just saying. Just saying. I saw them at Six Flags. That actually was a fun concert, except I was sweating to death. I remember that. Me and two of my girlfriends went in junior high. We thought we were the bomb. That was like our first big kid adult thing. Remember that? Like your first big kid adult trip. And you were like, I run this park. I run it.
Oh, like the name of it was Old Glory Amphitheater, wasn't it?
I want to say it was. I can't remember.
It was Old Glory Amphitheater.
So somebody on the internet is going to remind me. They'll tell me. She's feeling the spirit. Your kids got to wear masks in school. And look, I'm not begrudging anybody going out and having a drink and not wearing a mask. Good for them. But my problem comes in with they want everybody else to do it. They don't want to do it themselves. They want you to do it. Did you see that video of that baby that they were trying to put this mask on? This woman trying to keep this mask on this baby? American Airlines trying to keep this mask on this baby. Baby did not want to wear this mask. And it's like some of these people that make these orders, I'm like, have you ever met a child? Have you met a child? Have you met a toddler? Have you met a two-year-old? Because I see grown folks that don't wear masks, and you have enough trouble keeping them on their faces. Now imagine when you go to an infant, a baby. This poor woman, this baby actually had asthma and was wheezing and having a fit. And the mom wasn't telling the airlines that she's not going to put the mask on the baby. She's saying the baby is having trouble wearing this mask because the baby has asthma. You can hear the baby wheezing as the baby's bawling his head off. And they turned the plane around and they were like, we've got a non-compliant passenger. You got a baby. And it was some grown man named Carl. Of course it was. It's interesting that they have the same sound
as Karen.
Thank you, Kane.
Yeah. Actually, that should be the male version of Karen.
I think it's going to be now. Carl. Don't be a Carl, man. Don't be. Turned the plane around, and they had police waiting there for that mama when she walked out.
Police?
Yeah, they did. That's according to all this story. Now, this is what the reports are.
Lord.
Now, I'm wondering where all of the, apparently she was traveling with her mom, and I was wondering where all of the other passengers were in defending this woman. Like the Target video that we showed you last week where the guy was like following this woman around, this beta male, and he had a mask on. She already had coronavirus, so she wasn't going to wear a mask. He's following her around. And other ladies in that store that chose to wear their mask, and that's totally their right. They stuck up for that woman. I would do the same thing. If I saw somebody not wearing a mask, aggravating somebody wearing a mask, okay, then I'm going to get Doc Holliday with you. And we're going to have some words. I don't like that stuff. Mind your own business. I cannot stand when people don't mind their business. But that video with that woman, see, that baby's got to wear that mask. Do you know what? The mom should have just told Carl on the flight, Carl, my baby is just feeling the spirit. You know, we were listening to Tony's top five hits, and I was reminiscing about being a 90s teen. being, you know, that being my decade of coming of age. And baby just was moved by the spirit, Carl. I mean, you know, we were watching a live performance of the brothers. They had not gotten together. It was like their first time performing in like 20 some odd years. You know, all the original member. I mean, it's just, you know, amazing here. So I don't know why you're hating, Carl. Don't know why. Why is it a story, Carl? What else can I use that with? I'm just feeling the spirit.
Anything.
Hmm.
Anything at all.
I think I've only had, I think I've had one ticket in my life. And it was, I never got a speeding ticket. I got one speeding ticket and I had to go to drive. I only got one ticket ever. And that's when I was going 5 miles over in a construction zone right by my parents' house on a Sunday morning on my way to church. There was nobody else on the road. That guy hated me. And I had to go. And the instructor was very nice. And I had to go to a driving class because it was a construction zone, which was so ridiculous. And I remember there was, you could put money in this bowl and take a soda. And it said Pepsi's, P-E-P-S-I apostrophe S. And I was like, why, who's, Pepsi's what? Why is it plural? Why is there a possessive instead of just regular plural? Like, why? That's what I focused on in driving class. I didn't learn anything. The teacher was very nice, though. And I talked about that on air, and I didn't realize that she listened. This was not when I was just in St. Louis. That was very awkward. My whole point is that what else can I use? I feel like just telling everybody, no, I don't want to follow any law or any requirement if I don't want to. Think about this. At the Emmys, did y'all see, I know you all didn't watch this. I didn't even look at it for the fashion because I just don't care. I've been in such a blasé mood. But again, all the people who were working there, all the assistants, all the other people, they all had their faces masked up. But all the precious people, the preciouses, they did not have their faces covered. Either on the red carpet, don't sit here and tell me it's for photos, because they didn't have it on inside either. There's tons of photos from inside. Not a single one of these fools are wearing their masks on inside. Now, that's something. I have a family member. I know this is kind of a long story. I told a great aunt of mine, because she is, you know, some of these older ladies, some of your great aunts, y'all, from a different generation, they always go out like they would die if they had to go out in sweatpants, right? They don't go to church unless they have a nice dress, you know, with like just in their jewelry, some wear hats. I mean, it's a very purposeful thing. And one of my great aunts, she always has her lipstick on when she goes on. This is a very big deal. These older ladies. And she got she splurged on a Chanel red lipstick. And she actually walked away from a store. This was like several months ago, because they were asking for her. She lives in a different state. They were telling her she had to wear a mask and she was not going to mess up that red lip. So she was like, there's nothing in here that I need that badly, and walks away. And she should have just said, I'm feeling the spirit. I just listened to some Tony in the car and I'm feeling the spirit. I'm not going to wear this mask. I'm not going to do it. But she didn't go anywhere for a while because she was not going to mess up her lipstick. And we're like, well, why don't you just go without it? And that was met with a death stare. I was asking a cousin, I'm like, why didn't she just not wear it? You go, you call her and you tell her not to wear it. And you see how that goes for you. I'm like, okay. She just didn't go nowhere. She'll stand out in her yard with her red lips so everybody can drive by and see her with her makeup on. Just tell them that you're moved by the spirit. That's all. Dang. There's no accountability, though. There's no equal following of the rules, which is what a republic hinges on. And there's no accountability. So you can do whatever you want as long as you're a Democrat. You can drone people. Hell, you can drone a family of 10. Well, we're not going to have any disciplinary action and no one's going to be held accountable. We're also not going to tell you where we got the intel that we totally stand by. We're not going to tell you where we got that from either. Jiminy Christmas. We're going to talk about this coming up. I want you to think of all the bad stuff that you could do in your job that you would get fired for. And is any of that bad stuff as bad as what happened here? And yet there's no discipline, nothing. No, none. This year, Kel-Tec is celebrating 30 years of game-changing innovation and performance. A privately owned family company that began making one-of-a-kind American-made firearms in 1995. In 1999, Kel-Tec launched their brand on the scene by forever redefining the concealed carry handgun. And from that point on, Kel-Tec continues to innovate and create never-before-seen firearms. Pistols, rifles, and shotguns alike, never copying firearms, always innovating new ones. Kel-Tec believes in respect, family, the right to bear arms, and in the love we all have for our great country. They do things right. All Kel-Tec firearms are proudly made right here in America in a true family culture that embraces every employee and where people are genuinely happy to come to work. The Kel-Tec's commitment to innovation and quality truly sets them apart. Find out more about Kel-Tec firearms by visiting KelTecWeapons.com for a deeper dive on all aspects of their innovative firearms. That's KelTecWeapons.com to learn more about my friends at Kel-Tec. Kel-Tec, game-changing innovation and performance.
Red meat, black coffee, truth-telling. The Dana Show.
DanaLash.com. Substack is the newsletter. Download that Odyssey app for an additional way to listen to this radio program that you can hear every day, folks, from 12 to 3 Eastern. Kane and I were talking about anime because I watched 24 episodes Saturday night of Devil's Line. One of my, like, my husband was at a friend's house, saw my kids at a friend's house. I'm like, I'm never, like, hardly, if I am, I'm too busy to know. I'm never, like, alone. And I'm like, this is amazing. Moms, you know how it is out there. Even dads, y'all know how it is. Quiet house, nothing but snore dogs. So I watched 24 episodes of Devil's Line. Then I started Tokyo Ghoul, and I got Bleach next on my list. And Kane and I were like, you make fun of me. But here's the thing. So much that Hollywood puts out is garbage. Garbage, actually. And with anime, you're not going to get wokery. You're not going to get preached at. There's no politics. Good is good. Evil is evil. And you have your good guys and your bad guys. And sometimes, even more realistically, you have your anti-heroes. You know, the people who are flawed and they have their own sets of baggage. And it's a redemption story. And it's just really good character development and really good stories. This is why I watch it. I just am so tired of everything that's everything's so unoriginal out of Hollywood. So this is why Kane and I were sharing and swapping like some of the series that we were watching. All right, so coming up, the latest coming out with what's gonna happen in Afghanistan? What's gonna happen? Plus, we got the latest of the left. Stick with us. Let's talk about trust, something that's important to do with so much defunding and canceling going on. Do you know that many wireless companies support left-wing causes that take away our freedoms and pare down our traditional beliefs? Patriot Mobile is different. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier, and Patriot Mobile has the broadest nationwide coverage and plans to fit any budget. They donate hundreds of thousands of dollars each year to causes you and I care about, like First and Second Amendment rights, sanctity of life, supporting first responders and veterans. There's no better time than now when we celebrate our freedom and Independence Day to check out Patriot Mobile. Switch today and get even more value. $100 off any phone in stock with a one-year commitment or 50% off your first 2 months plus free premier activation. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call their U.S.-based, highly rated customer service team at 972-PATRIOT. Switch to Patriot Mobile, a company you can trust to support your values. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT.
You know, there's always a theoretical risk because the studies have not been done to look at the safety and the immunogenicity of doing that right now for everyone. But I mean, people who get J&J will be coming in asking to get Pfizer and Moderna, etc. Theoretically, if you look at things, it is very unlikely that there's going to be a risk there. But scientifically, you don't want to go by unlikely. You want to have some scientific proof.
So there's always, why are you promoting vaccine hesitancy? Why is he being anti-vax? Right. This, isn't that their role?
Yeah.
I mean, I was reliably informed. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, everybody. Happy Monday to you guys. It's good to be with you. Welcome as we start the week. Always, as you know, folks. So, the goodness. There's been a lot of discussion over the boosters thing because it looks like the administration has sort of kind of at odds with Biden over this. This is one of the things that I alluded to last Was it last week? Talking about Biden and the CDC, or no, yeah, Biden and CDC seem to be not totally entirely following the science where it releases, or it concerns the boosters and all of that. Okay, well, I mean, follow the science. I mean, should you not? I don't know. And it is, I always say that this is something that you need to make the determination. You need to decide this for yourself. Well, you are the only person who's going to be able to make this determination. There was an NBC piece where they mentioned me because they were talking about radio and conservatives and all this stuff. And they were saying that I'm not telling Dana, like people like Dana Loesch, who's not telling her audience to get vaccinated. Why is it my job to tell anybody to do that? I actually am pulling this up. There were a couple of things that were on the, I was reading this piece and they were saying, people like me, because I don't tell people, because I guess use my microphone to tell people to go and get vaccinated. So as a result, that's doesn't make sense to me, but okay. Why is it my, it's not my job to do that. It isn't my job to do any of this. Daily Beast was one a couple of weeks ago that wrote something about it. And I think NBC had a piece, and apparently what I guess that they believe that I should be telling all of you to go and get vaccinated. And if I'm not telling you this, then apparently I'm a bad person and you're a bad person because you listen to me or something to that effect. Isn't this like the difference between us and them? I don't need nobody to tell me what to do. And I respect the fact that you don't need anybody to tell you what to do. Also, we are each, all of us, busy. Even if I told you to do something, there's a little part of you, admit it. It's that super American bit that activates. And it's like, I'm not going to do what you just told me to do. Right? I'm not going to do that. No, I'm not going to do that. There's just something there. I don't know what it is.
You feeling guys, that American spirit.
That's the American spirit, right? Yeah. It's and you get it whether you're born in this country or you immigrate here legally. There's that. It changes your DNA. Once you say that, once you get in the country and you were here, then legally, then you become an American. There's something that happens to your DNA. There are no long-term studies to support this, but I identify like there are. I'm just going to really abuse that too, right? I'm going to abuse it. But there is, but people don't want to do what they're told. That's like the difference between us and them. You trust yourself enough to make determinations about what you want to do. And I think that some people, I've written a book about this. I have a whole chapter about it. There are some people who are just incompatible with freedom because they do not want to be accountable for the consequence of any wrong decision. They think that if somebody else makes the decision for them, that they trust that more, and so it's okay. If the government makes the decision, well, surely there are enough people in the government that this is okay, right? I mean, really? This is the difference between all of us. I just like to be left alone to make my own decision. All right, so we're still dealing with the Biden mandate, and as we told you last week when we spoke with one mayor there in Knox County, Tennessee, there's some pushback now. There's a lot of pushback. It's not going to go over so well. I'm just saying everybody needs to do what London Breed does and say that it's, you know, you felt the spirit at a Tony show, and that's ended up, you know, that's how it is. Now here's the other thing. One of the things that the Democrats have done, and this is a new Biden policy, they're relaxing. Now I say relaxing, I'm using air quotes with that. The United States is to relax coronavirus travel restrictions for vaccinated foreign nationals. However, this is the problem. You think that when you hear relax, you kind of think, oh, maybe they're kind of coming to their senses. No, it doesn't matter if you've had it or not. Your natural immunity does not count. You have to be vaccinated. You have to have the injection. Kane, just really quickly, I know you guys know this, but I just want to put it on the table. When you're getting a vaccine, right, which is different from a therapeutic, because a vaccine, you're thinking you're getting inoculated.
Right.
What is that aiming to do to your system? Like, is it?
It's
is
to
it
give you immunity.
Giving you, so like if people are, if people who are wanting to get the shot for the coronavirus, they're assuming that what, it's going to help them build antibodies, right?
Right.
To the virus. Isn't that's that right. kind of, so that.
And long-lasting antibodies, by the way.
So tell me, when you have the virus naturally, you contract it naturally, and then you get over it, what do you have left in your system?
Oh my gosh, it's antibodies.
So isn't that what people get the vaccine to emulate?
Right.
Without having to get the virus?
Yep. And unfortunately, the facts prove that those antibodies are not long-lasting, which is why we have boosters.
So then why does natural immunity not count if we're talking about antibody presence?
It's a $1.5 million question.
Huh. Science. This episode brought to you by science. Jeez. It feels like in history where the people who are arguing that the world is flat have won. Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Don't sail too far over there. You're going to fall off. Don't go too far over now. You got to stay right here where we can see you. The government there. I just think that some people on the left want the government to treat them like little kids in the shallow part of the pool.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You just constantly need to be hovered over, constantly need to be told. It's just bizarre to me. This whole thing is just weird to me. And this is why I have a major problem with the whole natural immunity ignoring of this. So I have a really good friend. I'm not going to say her name, but I have a really good friend. Her and her husband were going to go on a trip for their anniversary. They were going to go to Spain. He's been vaccinated. She hasn't. And she wasn't allowed to go. They told her they would not allow her entry, even though she had coronavirus and he didn't. She had coronavirus. She has natural immunity. He never got it. He only ever got the vaccine. And which is fine. She really, now she doesn't want to get the vaccine. I think she was kind of like going back and forth maybe a little bit before she got it. But she got the virus. She used ivermectin to help treat symptoms, which she said helped greatly. And then after she's fully recovered, she has natural immunity. They said that they will not allow her in, even with an antibody test. She has to get vaccinated. Okay, so this is where you make people, completely reasonable people, who really loathe conspiracy theories. But this is where you make people, reasonable people like me, suspicious. Because she is disallowed to go. It doesn't matter if you take a test to make a determination about your level of antibodies. That's irrelevant. You have to have the vaccine. You have to get this special solution injected. To me, this sounds weird, and it sounds like it's not science if we're going to have a discussion of science, right?
Yeah.
How is that following the science? And also, if you're going to be demanding that everybody get this, shouldn't you make it to where we can go and get antibody tests with relative ease as well so you can see who has natural immunity and who doesn't? I mean, especially if you're talking about vaccine equity. Shouldn't you see who maybe has antibodies and who doesn't? I have another very good friend of mine, and our kids are all friends, works as a nurse in a major hospital in downtown Dallas. So she was one of the people who had to get the vaccine early on. She was also the first person I knew that had that got the vaccine, even though she already had it. When she went, they did an antibody test, and she had already had coronavirus and nobody knew. She had no symptoms. She could still smell and taste. She had no idea. She had a ton of antibodies. Or that's how she was describing it to me. She had antibodies and she still had to get the vaccine. How weird is this? And she didn't understand that either. She thought it was ridiculous. And she was like, if this is going to, this is, she was saying that this, it wasn't going to provoke within her immune system the same response that her body already had developed by contracting it naturally, because she already has antibodies present. It was just, it's just bizarre. The whole thing is weird. That's why I don't understand any of these policies, because this, none of this has to do at all whatsoever with science. It's like, okay, if it's about developing antibodies and making sure that, you know, you're immune or whatever, even though this isn't making, actually allowing, giving people immunity, then why are we completely ignoring the natural immunity? That's what's making people suspicious. That's not following the science. It's not. Not at all. All right, so there's a new hot take out there. We're going to talk about this coming up in Wokery. Teachers, some, are upset. And they're upset because they think having lessons ready to go on Monday is like expecting free labor over the weekend. You literally get 3 months off a year, like as the kids do, for this one instructor that's complaining. Are you kidding me?
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Kel-Tec.
All right, so stop it. Stop it right now with this. I'm so done. Bats in Lost Caves harbor closest relatives to COVID-19 virus. Can we just safely assume that any bat probably is harboring something that we don't want? Right? Can we just go ahead? We don't need Pasteur, based on probably the Louis Pasteur Institute scientists. They tested hundreds of horseshoe bats. They're trying to pinpoint COVID origins. Stop it. They looked at these limestone caves and they were discovering coronaviruses that share a key feature with the SARS-CoV-2. Moving scientists closer. It's Francis Pasteur Institute and the University of Laos. They had looked at these viruses and they were looking at enzymes and a bunch of stuff that's super sciencey, particularly the spike protein used to bind to human ACE-2, the enzyme it targets to cause an infection. Can we just not look at, just ignore that they exist for a while?
And they literally
stop
eat
going
bats.
To these caves.
Stop eating bats.
Stop it. That's right. So the U.S. is opening a probe into 30 million vehicles due to what they say are the Takata airbag inflators. They could be defective. I'm trying to read a million words all at once. I get super excited with bad headlines. So they include vehicles made by Honda, Ford, Toyota, General Motors, Nissan, Subaru, Tesla, Ferrari, Mazda, BMW through 2001 and 2019. Automakers were reportedly notified about the investigation. The Takata airbag inflators can send deadly fragments flying, and there have been 28 fatalities as a result of this. So I know a lot of people are also looking for used cars out there. And so I think that this is, this might be something that, you know, you might want to look into and kind of check out. Also, this is, now I realize that you're going to have rare stories like this. However, I think they're important to mention. An ultra-fit Aussie Olympic swimming star, 27, is hospitalized with COVID despite being fully vaccinated. Olympic gold medalist Maddie Wilson was hospitalized with COVID-19. She was admitted to the hospitals in Naples in Italy while she was competing. She was swimming alongside two other fellow Aussies, and she's fit and healthy. She has no known comorbidities. She's 27 years old. And she said that she's fully vaccinated, but she thinks that the physical and mental effects of the past year contributed to, which could be true, like stress. I bet stress could be considered a comorbidity because of the way that it impairs and stifles your immune system, right? So you could say that people who are stressed probably are more likely to have more severe symptoms, and that could maybe add to a breakthrough, right? I mean, this is me pretending to be a scientist, but I think the speculation is kind of... Feel the spirit, man. Just feel the spirit. That's right. Did you guys see the photos of the armed Taliban riders riding these, what are they, these little pedal boats in Afghanistan? It's a national park, and they're on this lake. I didn't know Afghanistan had a national park. The water's the most beautiful water I've ever seen. It's like some of the most beautiful water. It's someone was saying it's... And I only know what this mineral is because of Minecraft. What is it? Lazuli or whatever, the very super bright blue mineral, because apparently this area is rich with it, and that's why the water is like the most gemstone blue possible. It's sapphire blue. But that's the Afghanistan. That's the Taliban. That's where our money's going. We got to talk about border issues next. Stick with us. For over 40 years, Delta Rescue has provided dedication and everlasting love to animals that have been left abandoned. Delta is the largest no-kill and care-for-life animal sanctuary in the world. This super sanctuary is home to up to 1,500 animals that have been cruelly abandoned or born in the wilderness and cares for every animal for the entirety of that animal's life. Every animal at Delta Rescue receives the very best of care, and Delta relies solely on donor contributions from people like you for that care. By being a part of the Delta mission, you are the difference between life and death for so many of these animals. Donate today at DeltaRescue.org, or for more information on Delta's tax-saving estate planning, visit directly DeltaRescue.org/Dana and ask for my free estate package. It lays out all you need to know about growing your estate while letting your compassion for animals live well into the future. This is only available at DeltaRescue.org/Dana. Show your dedication and everlasting love and make your legacy work for the animals. Visit DeltaRescue.org/Dana today.
Politics, pop culture, and whatever else gets canceled, tossed in a blender, paid for by sponsored hate mail. It's the Dana Show.
All right, guys, what you're looking at right now is that is the U.S. side of the Rio Grande. That is a mass of several hundred illegal immigrants who have just crossed the Rio Grande. And look at this, several hundred more streaming across as we speak. We're on a boat in the Rio Grande. This is the Mexican side of the river right now. You can see it's a never-ending stream, hundreds of people crossing the Rio Grande basically every hour, and they're heading over to the International Bridge, which you can see in the background. Look at that mass of people. This is why the situation under the bridge continues to deteriorate.
That video footage from Bill Malugin with Fox 5 LA. Yeah, this is crazy. He's been down there at the border getting drone footage. They actually had to get another drone to go out there because they had the FAA restricted some of the flight. They were restricting some of their what the drones could do and where all they could go. But without giving them any kind of excuse as to why. This whole thing, this is insane. And then, of course, one of the things that we learned today as well is that apparently, as it relates to the border, the president, the administration, they're now going to start moving some of the Haitians, some of these people who were entering illegally, thousands of them were from Haiti, start actually deporting them as well in what they're calling accelerated removal. What does that even mean? We thought we would ask the experts. And that's where our guest Mark Morgan comes in. Of course, Mark Morgan, he was the former senior official performing the duties of the Commissioner of U.S. Customs and Border Protection. And of course, you remember him from the Trump administration as well. Mark joins us now. You can find him on Twitter, CBP Mark Morgan. That's his archive account now. But Mark, good to see you. Thank you so much for your time. What does that mean? What's accelerated removal?
Look, it's all spin and misdirection. First of all, what they're talking about right now is removal under Title 42, that CDC order that for public health reasons that they're able to expedite the removal of certain people to reduce the further introduction of COVID-19. By the way, the irony here, that was a Trump-era policy that was initiated, of which, remember, they have since day one said how all our policies were inhumane. But now when they see the catastrophic crisis that's going on, they're bragging about how they're removing people under a Trump-era policy. So the irony, hypocrisy there. But here's where their narrative, again, they're very good at this, but we're trying to push back. It's a lie. They're not removing the majority of people right now. The majority of people that have come across under that bridge are unaccompanied minors and families. Only about 25% are single adults. That is who they're focusing on removing, is that 25% single adult under Title 42. Unaccompanied minors, they're releasing. And the majority, what I'm being told, just like always along the Southwest border, the majority of families are being released, just like it was last month where they released 85% of families, although they tried to tell people we're still removing people. Spin, misdirection. And look, real quick, Dan, the current chief of Border Patrol, Raul Ortiz, mm-hmm. Look, he's better than this. He is turning quickly into a politician, into the DHS secretary's pundit, because he should be more honest with American people and actually talk about specific numbers that they're removing and specific numbers that have been released in the United States. He failed to do that.
Yeah, we're talking with Mark Morgan, Border Patrol chief, former Border Patrol chief, and about all of these, I mean, thousands and thousands. I think at one morning they had, I'm looking at some of the numbers here, like over 8,000 under that international the bridge, the international highway there in Del Rio, a significant portion. They said there was a huge influx of Haitian people hoping to apply for amnesty. Is that different from what we've seen previously? I mean, I know the numbers are, but the percentage of those who, for instance, aren't just Mexico, coming from Mexico or Colombia, et cetera, that are coming from Haiti, you know, because our border with Haiti, I don't think I've ever heard about that significant of a number of Haitians coming in to apply for amnesty or trying to.
Yeah, so Jay, this is a very good question, and this is a misunderstanding of the American people. First of all, the Border Patrol this fiscal year have apprehended aliens from 148 different countries.
Wow.
Including Haitians on a regular basis. That's why we call this as a national security threat. This isn't about Central America or Mexico. And they do apprehend Haitians on a regular basis, but of course not to this degree. But what happened is this administration, again, their policies, because the smugglers pay attention, they gave TPS, temporary protected status, to Haitians already in the country. Well, the smugglers used that to kind of exploit the Haitians that were already in like Chile, Brazil, and said, hey, now's the time. If you get the U.S. border, they're going to give you temporary legal status. And so that's what really drove this, is that announcement by the administration. But Danny, here's something else that we don't talk enough about, is the cause and effect. Mm-hmm. When you have actually the count was almost 15,000 under that bridge. That means every single Border Patrol agent in the Del Rio sector is pulled off the line to process and transport, meaning all enforcement action has come to a stop. 224 miles of border in the Del Rio sector now are unpatrolled and are wide open for the cartels and smugglers to smuggle in gang members, drugs, and criminal aliens. That's where we're at, and that's why I say we're seeing history now. We have lost our borders in the Del Rio sector.
What did you think, Mark, is stopping the Texas governor? I mean, can he just say, I'm going to send the guard down, I'm going to send the Texas Rangers down, and we're going to secure this portion of the border? What's stopping, say, him from doing something like that?
So that's a great question. I get that asked all the time. I appreciate that. It's the law. So a state or local municipality, they cannot enforce federal immigration law. They cannot arrest somebody for illegally entering the United States. Only the federal government can do that. They cannot remove an illegal alien that's broken into our country. Only the federal government can do that. Now, they can do other stuff like this governor and governor of Texas is doing. Governor Abbott is, mm-hmm. He's declared a state of emergency. So he's taken a class A misdemeanor of trespassing, for example, from a class C to a class A. So he can give them up to 180 days of jail time, some consequences to try to stem the flow. But their hands are tied. And he can do other things like building the wall, like he's trying to do.
Yeah. Wow. That's a tough spot. And of course, he would immediately get sued. I just remember talking with Mark Morgan, former border chief. I remember under Obama Biden, whenever any of the Arizona governor, or even I think Rick Perry was still governor at the time, anytime any border state governor would attempt to do something like enforce what the federal government didn't want to do, then you would see a flurry of lawsuits. And of course, now with the Biden administration, it doesn't seem any different because you have Merrick Garland. He seems to be pretty litigious on all the wrong things.
That's exactly right. The state of Texas has filed multiple lawsuits, as well as Missouri and a couple of others. And the Biden administration has fought them tooth and nail every single time. But this is what's important. They're losing. Yeah. Texas is winning again and again and again. Like the Remain in Mexico policy, they lost. And the court ordered the Biden administration to reinstate the Remain in Mexico policy.
Yeah, talking with Mark Morgan. Mark, last quick question for you. I know that you're short on time today, and we appreciate you joining us today. The administration is now removing. They said that they're going to send a number of these migrants back, send them back to Haiti. Does that just mean they're going to relocate them somewhere else and they're going to wait forever how many years to see an immigration judge? Are they actually going to send them back and like carry out the deportation?
Yeah, a very few. Right now, again, it's smoke and mirrors. They're going to send back the single adults under Title 42,
wow.
But that's only about 25%. The majority of these are families and unaccompanied right. minors. They're going to release them into their interior United States. So it's just spin in misdirection, Dana.
Golly, this is such a disaster. I love how they want to act like they're going to take care of the people at the border, but they're not going to change the laws that are actually facilitating this and serving as the beacon to draw people there and let it happen. Mark Morgan.
Hey, that's right.
Good to see you, my friend. Thank you so much for joining us today. Appreciate your time. We know you're super busy considering the subject lately.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Danny. Anytime.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thanks so much. And you can find his account, CBP Mark Morgan. He has a Twitter account up there, his archived account, where he was. That's just crazy to me. So, and I was wondering about this because remember, I think every story that I've read about it, they were talking about how the Biden administration is going to send like 14,000. He says it's over 15. I totally believe that. Like 14,000, I think, is what Reuters was trying to report. 14,800, and they're gonna repatriate them. They're gonna send them back to Haiti. Those who actually entered into some of these other Latin American countries illegally and then came to the United States to enter illegally. But then there were folks questioning, okay, well, why are all we see are just a huge number of buses, and then they're just taking people to just certain detention facilities, and then how long are they going to stay there? This is, so when you think about that, that's just like in one period, in one day, 14,800. That's bigger than my hometown. That's goodness. Four times bigger than my hometown. Isn't that crazy? That's a whole like area, whole town, whole city.
Over 200,000 a month. It's ridiculous.
Oh my gosh, it's. I mean, I don't know how that's sustainable. I have no idea how that's sustainable. But the purpose is to have, I mean, really total chaos. I mean, that's you know, it's just to have chaos completely. So right now they're a little bit earlier. They have the press conference that was taking place with Jen Psaki, and then you also have the DHS Secretary Mayorkas, who's visiting the border. Is he actually visiting the border, or is he doing what Kamala Harris did? He went to just the part where they have the wall up in El Paso.
Sus, bro.
Sus, bro. Super sus. Just saying. Whew. Man alive. I don't know. I don't know. So this, it's a disaster, complete disaster. Now, coming up, also a disaster, Beto O'Rourke, apparently he's playing musical chairs. I love the candidates who can't win anything, and then they want to try to run for all the races. How about this? How about you get a job? How about you get a J-O-B, you get a job?
How dare you?
They only ran him as a way to register people to vote and try to do outreach to Democrats. He was never ran. Same thing with Wendy Davis. He was never run to be a like serious candidate. Like he not to win. But this guy believes his own hype, and so now he wants to run for governor. There's nothing better than slipping into bed with soft, comfortable sheets at the end of a long day. Now MyPillow wants you to sleep better with their Giza Dream Sheets. Made from the world's best cotton, grown in a small area of the Mediterranean, and made into a fabric that is ultra-soft and breathable, the Giza Dream Sheets Sateen Weave gives them a luxurious finish that will have you sleeping like a dream. Available in a variety of colors and sizes, machine washable and durable, all Giza Dream Sheet sets come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. For a limited time, you can save 50% on all Giza Dream Sheets. Visit MyPillow.com, click the radio listener square, and use promo code Dana at checkout. Or call 800-944-4975 to get the Giza Dream Sheets for as low as $49.99. You'll also find deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the MyPillow mattress topper, MyPillow towel sets, and so much more. Don't miss the sale of the year. That's MyPillow.com, promo code Dana, or call 800-944-4975. Sleep better with MyPillow.com.
The Dana Show, sponsored by 30 years of game-changing Kel-Tec innovation, like the P50, a new breed of pistol. Innovation, performance, Kel-Tec.
Mr. President, what will you tell Emmanuel Macron?
Mr. President, when are you going to call Macron?
Did you forget his name? Bless their hearts. I think that's it. What are you going to call? His name sounds like that cookie. Macron!
Yay, media.
Yay! Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash. I'm going to be making fun of some Beto here. Oh, man. Hey, you know what? First off, that's everybody's talking about Joe Biden and whether, and that question had to do with the breakdown in relations between the United States and France, because the Biden administration didn't go, hey, we really need to help these guys develop some nuclear capability, because, you know, it's because China's getting sketchy. So, and plus you guys are not fulfilling any of your contractual obligations on time or under budget. So maybe we should talk. Instead, they just Did they just decide again? And I cannot use this enough. They just decided to Leroy Jenkins it. That's who he is, man. Gosh, was he riding a bike?
Yeah.
Well, at least he can do that. Good for him. Did he have his little helmet on?
He did.
Knee pads?
Yep.
Elbow pads?
I don't know about the knee pads and elbow pads, though. I did see the helmet.
I just, you know, we want our elders to be safe. So here's the thing with Beto. If he decides to run, I have an idea. Why doesn't he just come out and play Wonderwall on his little acoustic guitar? Anyway, here's Wonderwall. Today's gonna be the day that you're gonna have to vote for me again. That's his job, is just professional campaigner. I love all of the older middle-aged women that stand for him so hard. And anytime you ever so slightly slight him on Twitter, they lose their minds. It's whoever those women are. They lose their minds. Why do people act like he's a baby? They do. Have you noticed this? Like, what is there? There's this obsession to infantilize these grown adult male Democrats. This guy's older than me, and he acts. Everyone's like, "Oh, he's such a young guy. He's older than I am by a bit."
He just looks ultra immature.
Is that what it is?
I think so.
It's just, I find that whole thing weird. Their obsession with rendering all these people like babies. I don't know. We're going to make fun of this a lot because he is, oh my gosh. If he ever comes to my town, I may actually go incognito to ask a question.
Please do.
I totally will.
Please do.
That's pretty much guaranteed. All right. We need to get to Florida Man. By the way, Beto's Texas is Florida Man.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
That's what Kane says anyway. Kane says that he is absolutely.
I only speak the truth.
It is true. Where's the lie? There's not one. That's the whole thing. There's not one. All right. This is from New York Post. Florida operates windshield wipers with hand, prompting community fundraiser. So a Florida man was seen in a viral video using his hand to operate his windshield wipers during a rainstorm. But at first, I guess people thought it was a joke, but then I created a GoFundMe to raise money to support fixing his car. Why are you laughing?
If I knew it was that easy. To get financial support from the public. I'll do everything.
I'm not laughing at this. I think it's great that people are doing this. Because, I mean, that's nice. Who was filming that? Somebody was filming that on a rainy roadway. Stop it. But anytime, Kane, I do think that you hit on something. You could really tweak, you know, right, the heartstrings. So the next time,
like,
maybe...
Here I am mixing my own bread dough with my hands. Boy, I could really use a mixer.
Or what? Just remember that one guy who he got milkshake ducked, but he did that whole... Somebody Venmoed him money because he held up a sign at a college game and needed money for beer.
That was brilliant.
You could just like record yourself or have your son... Well, your son, it's your child. Have another, you know, older adult record you. And you could go and look sad like you want to buy beer,
money.
Like do it like Charlie Chaplin style, right? Like just go back to vaudeville.
All the bourbon money I need.
Oh, man. See, just do it like that. I think that might work. And just look sad. And then people will help you, right? Let's see. A Florida man lost his grow house after a power loss and a power theft investigation ensued. Oh, my gosh. Why in the world? So this is Tampa Free Press. A Florida man lost his grow house after a power theft investigation. So, yeah, it was their drug strike team. They decided to go on this guy for marijuana cultivation. My mom keeps ferns in her basement. I hope nobody thinks she's a grow house. She only does it during the winter. Swear it's not pot. Stay with us.
Understand that. This is not the end of the story.
On Wednesday, you said in an interview, quote, "If they say we don't think there's enough data to do a booster, then so be it. I think that would be a mistake, to be honest with you." So on Wednesday, you said it would be a mistake. So, but now you're saying you don't think it was a mistake?
No, I mean, I, you know, when I was saying that mistake, my own personal looking at this, again, just because I look at the data and say I would do it this way. That's the reason why we have qualified groups of people who together as a committee examine all the data and make a decision. So I have no problem at all with their decision. The thing that I'm saying is that data will continue to come in, and I believe you're going to see an evolution of this process as we go on in the next several weeks to months.
Hmm. I love the spin on this and the dancing around it. So are you sure you're not flip-flopping about, you know, the boosters and pretty much everything else that you've said? Tapper asks. No, says Fauci, who flip-flopped completely. Because he did. He completely has waffled on almost every single issue. And look, I understand when... I get it when we don't know and you're still when everyone, including our medical professionals, are still learning exactly what we're dealing with. But maybe if you people had been, like some of these folks had been honest about this from the get-go, there wouldn't be such a deficit of trust. Welcome back to the show, folks. I am Dana Lash, your hostess with the mostest. It's good to be with you this Halloween season. It is. Stop it. It is my birthday month. I get a month. Because I do. I don't know. Welcome, though. It's good to be back with you guys. I hope you all had a nice, restful weekend and are gearing up for this week. Today seems, well, last week it was a little insane with everything, all the stuff that would drop, especially the press conference that they had Friday, which they purposely dropped this stuff on Friday. Yes, CENTCOM confirmed that the drone strike carried out. It was apparently against one of our interpreters, I think. Or an informant or an interpreter, basically one of our allies, and they droned to death his whole family and 7 kids. I mean, I still have boots on the ground. And they no military discipline, or no military discipline, they said, and they still trust the intel. But they won't tell you where the intel came from, because it came from a source that rhymes with Schmaliban. Pretty sure. No, the Taliban, they're our Afghan partners. Well, how can you be sure that they're just not feeding you a bunch of garbage? I mean, how can they be sure that the Taliban didn't just tell, you know, our military, yeah, these guys, I hear this guy right over here is a big bad, he's worse than us, the Taliban, and you should probably get him and blow him up. Those smaller people with him that looks like children, no, they're just very diminutive other ISIS-K people. All it is. I mean, I'm not trying to make light of it, but it is as absurd to say that you're going to continue relying on this bad intel. So you have the Taliban, Kane's right, that got an enemy of the Taliban killed using the United States. Because who else there? Who else is the source? Nobody. We don't have anybody there anymore. And that was when I love the whole over the horizon. Doesn't that sound, wait a minute. Stop the car for a second. What am I thinking of? Over the horizon. Isn't that a Judy Garland song? No, Over the Rainbow. Wizard of Oz. So I'm going to call it that, though. Over the rainbow approach from Joe Biden. The over the horizon. That's when we still had boots on the ground and they still couldn't get it right. You know who I really feel for is the guy who actually had to carry out the order and on the sketchy intel from his commanders. No, but there's not going to be... Basically, they're telling you that they are not going to be held accountable. They know it and they don't care. That's kind of unnerving, I got to say. I find that a little unnerving. Who told you this? Well, it's a group called the Schmaliban. This sounds an awful lot like the Taliban, but it's not, though. How can you be sure? We're not. We're just kind of closing our eyes, saying a prayer. It's kind of how we're doing it. Golly. Oh. But there really is, I know, and yes, and I do have this as well, how CIA had apparently warned that there were kids near the target. So we have, I don't even know how much we even have of that network to rely on anymore, but the CIA had developed a somewhat of an intel network after 2 decades over there, and they had warned you, but we don't know exactly the nature of that. We just know that they apparently had notified the military, but apparently too late, that there might have been children near one of their target areas on August 29th. So I think that, wasn't the family of the individual in question, wasn't he an informant? I mean, the target that they had was apparently an innocent person, but the I thought I had read, I think I have this. I have so much on this saved. That he was in, that he was somehow an informant or interpreter. At least at one point had helped in some capacity the military. So then that makes me think that the Taliban was telling them, was telling our military, yeah, take this guy out. We hear he's super bad. He's one of those bad ones. Unlike us, the Taliban. They try to make him sound all like friendly and kittens and sunshine and all this stuff. Just a disaster. Disaster. Now, you have got to hear this exchange. I'm going to switch it up a bit here. Between, because it's Ducey time. You guys know that our show often coincides with Ducey time. And this question from Peter Ducey to Jen Psaki just a little earlier. I need you to listen to this exchange.
To our national security team and see what that process would
and
look like.
A question about what's going on at the border. Is somebody asking the foreign nationals who are walking into Del Rio, Texas and setting up camps on this side of the border for proof of vaccination or a negative COVID test?
Well, first of all, I can readdress for you or re-talk you through what steps we take.
That is the policy for people who fly into the country. So if somebody walks into the country right across the river, does somebody ask them to see their vaccination card?
Well, let me explain to you again, Peter, how our process works. As individuals come across the border, they are both assessed for whether they have any symptoms. If they have symptoms, the intention is for them to be quarantined. That is our process. They're not intending to stay here for a lengthy period of time. I don't think it's the same thing. It's not the same thing. These are individuals, as we've noted and as we've been discussed, we are expelling individuals based on Title 42. Specifically because of COVID, because we want to prevent a scenario where large numbers of people are gathering, posing a threat to the community and also to the migrants themselves. So those are the policies that we put in place in large part because, again, the CDC continues to recommend Title 42 be in place given we're facing a global pandemic.
But if they, here's the problem, though, you're putting them on a bus. There's video. They made these things. Guys, have you heard about this? I actually have one. It's new technology. It's a it's a phone. But some people don't use them like that. They just because they hate when they ring. And I am one of those people. But these things that they have on the phone, some people have three, some people have two. They're cameras. And what people can do with this device is they can record stuff, and then they put it on this thing called the internet, Kane. And some people who report on what's happening in the area and then tell the people who live in the area what they've seen, they are called reporters because they report. One of those reporters, Bill Malugin, has been down there at the border, and he has been reporting on this, and they have cameras also. And so they've been taking those cameras and whether it's phone or drone footage, and the drone is the device that flies up in the sky, Kane, like a little bitty tiny plane that people can't ride. And there's a camera on it and they record all these people that have crossed over. And the crazy thing is on these videos that they take, which is like the live footage, but it's put onto either a digital file or in the olden days film, which was made of celluloid and highly flammable. But they put it on that, and then they put it on a thing called YouTube, or they just, you know, they put it on social media and everybody can see what they saw. And it shows people not at all being asked that and or tested at all whatsoever.
So there's
tons and tons and tons and tons of footage.
Nothing that Psaki said was true.
Nothing.
Okay.
Nothing that she said is true.
Sounds about right.
She has as much truth in her statement as I have millions of dollars in my hands right now.
Look at that. Nothing in your hands.
I don't have anything in them. Right. It's crazy. So I love it how she's like, well, you know, they're not here to stay for a long time. They just came by for a snack. You know,
they're
just
visiting for vacation.
Yeah. They just wanted to stop by, have a cup of Sanka, and, you know, just they're just popping in to say hi, you know, have a little coffee cake. just, you know, and then head back. That's it. They're just saying, what's up? It's weird that I just know that whenever I pop by somewhere, I always pack all of my belongings and undertake a long and arduous journey. Yes. And have drug cartels that help.
And camp under bridges.
Yes, and try to hide from the authorities if ever they're like, hey, can we? And then I run away. I always also, that's how I travel every time. I mean, I don't know about you guys. I guess you guys travel the weird way, but that's how I travel.
And just so people know, you're going to hear the phrase accelerated removal in the news in the next day or two, and they're not being removed in any accelerated way. And
it's not accelerated.
They're just being moved to other migrant facilities in the U.S. That's literally what they mean. So this bait and switchy type verbiage is what we're seeing all the time now from the White House.
They just came by for a little bite. That's all. They came by to say hi, see the kids. That's all. I'm pretty sure Sebastian Maniscalco did an entire bit on this. Just, I thought I was in the neighborhood. I thought I'd stop by, see how the kids are doing. Oh, phew. He did a whole thing on it. This is, we're watching this live. But oh my gosh, I have more to make fun of from that. And then why, so the other thing too, Fauci apparently was not, I'm just going to shock you guys, why he was not honest. He made a statement and said that when he said that we've lost more children to coronavirus than we've ever lost to influenza. Do you realize how highly debunkable this is? Why would he say something so completely false? I mean, it is, and in fact, there were some researchers. There was a researcher who actually works with the government who said, despite counting every pediatric death as one with COVID-19, not necessarily from, they said that the mortality rate for ages 0 to 17 would still be 46% lower than the average 10 previous estimated flu disease burdens from flu, and 79% lower than H1N1. This is a huge problem. Why did he lie again?
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
All right. So, first up here. This, I don't know why, but I find this funny. They decided that they really needed to study this. The Dutch are shrinking. Headline. Not even kidding you. The world's tallest people, they say. Now, this is a Daily Mail. Here's the headline. The Dutch are shrinking. World's tallest people are getting smaller due to poor diet and immigration study finds. And I can hear people screaming, racism. Okay, look, not everybody, like my family are Irish and Native American, and the Irish people are not as tall as the Dutch people. You have Irish people going over there. The Dutch are going to shrink. You know what I mean? So stop. Jiminy Christmas. They said that Dutch people born in 2001 are shorter than those born in 1980, a study has found. The average 19-year-old man is 6 foot tall, while the typical woman is 5'7". And they say that also, I'm curious about the diet aspect of it, but they are pretty huge. They're pretty tall people. But they said that men born in 2001 were on average 1 centimeter shorter than the generation from 1980. Or maybe they have that thing where like the elderly sometimes do and they shrink down.
Gravity.
It's gravity. It's just gravity though. Let's see. This comes from another study that seems obvious. Too much free time can be bad for your brain and make you unhappy. But two researchers believe that they have found the magic amount of time. 2 hours a day of free time, they say, is what you need to balance it out and be happy and not feel unsatisfied. I don't know if so I'm just gonna say I watched 24 hours of Devil's Line on Saturday night, and that was way more than 2 hours of free time. So I feel like that's kind of, can't just be different for everybody? Like, why do we have to have these studies, like a one size fits all kind of thing? A longtime TV weatherman, meteorologist, you mean, was fired for declining, I like that word, declining the vaccine as opposed to refuse. Refuse sounds so much more aggressive, and I feel like they changed their headline. So this was in WLUC TV 6. Meteorologist Carl Bonack, he wrote on Facebook that he declined to follow the mandatory vaccination requirements of his station's corporate owner, Gray Television. And he, and it's an Atlanta area broadcasting company. And he said that that he decided against it for a couple of reasons, and he was explaining about it. So he had to actually leave his job as a result of it. Coming up, Juicy Time. Jen Psaki was asked about that drone attack that killed 10 innocents. We're going to talk about this coming up with Stephen Yates. Stay with us.
Want a behind-the-scenes look at The Dana Show? Subscribe to Dana's Chapter and Verse newsletter for a deeper dive in all things Dana at danalash.com.
Hey, Jen, back to the drone strike. You said last month, our over-the-horizon capacity can work and has worked in going after ISIS targets and killing people who went after our troops, but you guys didn't kill people who went after our troops. You killed 10 civilians, including 7 children. So does the president still think these over-the-horizon strikes can work?
Absolutely.
Absolutely, sure. They can. That was some doozy time just a little bit earlier, where he was asking Jen Psaki about the strike that they announced. CENTCOM had a press conference. They announced this on Friday, late Friday afternoon, of course, very conveniently, that they were confirming the death of 10 innocents, 7 of them children, and there was going to be no disciplinary action taken, and they stand by the intelligence. That actually was wrong, but okay, they still stand by it anyway. On this, and of course, the AUKUS issue, which we're going to ask Stephen Yates how he pronounces that. Of course, we love picking his brain about all of these issues. He's a foreign policy expert, having previously advised the former VP. And of course, you can find Stephen at YatesComs on social media, on Twitter. Stephen, that's a good, decent question that Ducey asked. I mean, that was August 29th. And granted, they were probably all involved in getting boots off the, or getting our Americans and Afghan civs out of there, but we still had boots on the ground at that point. So now that we don't have anyone, and that's the result of still having some people there, and at least still having apparently some kind of CIA network, because the CIA had apparently warned, but it was too late, that there were children nearby or involved somehow. How is this over the horizon policy going to work with this administration now that nobody's there?
Well, first I have to give a disclaimer that I am feeling the spirit, so no one will be harmed by this dose of sarcasm and cattiness in response to crazy answers to good questions. But Steve Ducey was right on the mark with pushing this issue. He had like 10, right, dead down the center, high fastballs right over the plate for Psaki today. And I think she whiffed on all of them. But this one, of course, it lays bare the idea. Number one, the intelligence that this was based upon was absolute garbage. And the fact that our system was forced to account for it was only because of a rare example of a lot of mainstream and really global media going and getting actual intelligence, like real video confirmation of what happened, faster than seemingly our military could. And no one in the chain of command takes any accountability. So, I mean, really, a good follow-up question might have been, oh, does he think that this is still something that can work? Is who in the world trusts Joe Biden to pull the trigger on something going forward if he not only missed this ISIS-K target, if ISIS-K is a real thing, but killed civilians and doesn't seem bothered by it at all? A beach weekend was perfectly cool with him.
Yeah, a beach weekend, and they apparently briefed him on what happened, or what CENTCOM was getting ready to announce, and he went ahead and went back. Yeah, I mean, he's got to have downtime, Steve, and I heard one of his surrogates saying that earlier. The president has to have some downtime, but he's been hiding
every
away.
Every day after 1 p.m.
Yeah, or sometimes earlier, right after the oatmeal in the morning. I mean, then you have to have some downtime with us. I want to switch gears here. I had to ask you about that, but I wanted to talk with you about this ongoing story that I think we're going to really see the significance of in the next couple of years. Of course, France is mad. New Zealand was as well, but particularly France, because they lost this. I read numerous different monetary amounts, $66 billion contract for these nuclear propulsion submarines. And I think that they had been originally proposing diesel. And this was all in response to Australia and the United States and UK forming this new agreement to where instead of just sharing intelligence like with Five Eyes, it's military capabilities, and now we're sharing with Australia for the first time ever this nuclear technology or information about it. Because China's been really, I mean, there's been a lot of saber rattling, especially after the fallout in Afghanistan, but they've been having this economic war with Australia for quite some time. There were spy ships that have been in Australian waters, and if Australia didn't, I think, depend on Chinese imports as much as every other nation does, probably they would have been brought to heel. But I think it's a measure of how weak China still is and kind of an embarrassment for them. But still, we have to be proactive with this. And I wanted to get your take on it, because correct me if I'm wrong here with this whole AUKUS thing. To me, it seemed like France couldn't complete the contract on time and on budget, and Australia had a better deal. And when it's your national security at stake here, to me, that seems like that matters more than feelings. And I wanted to get your take on this.
Yeah, well, there's a lot kind of tied into this. There's the France part of it, and I can go back to eating freedom fries and not really caring very much, because they should pay more for their national defense. They should pay more into NATO. They should step up. You want to be at the big boy table, then you take on big boy jobs, and you win some, you lose some. I don't, you know, so there's part of me that doesn't shed a tear on this at all. And some French crying, maybe I just don't have the sufficient language sophistication to understand why that should matter more than regular crying. But it's just really, there's a lot of drama woven in this. I mean, the French didn't exactly withdraw their ambassador after a number of horrendous things happened in the world. And picking this as the time to pull their ambassador back on the one hand is hilarious, because Joe Biden said everything was back and diplomacy is back. And so, holy crap, Joe, where did your favorite ally go? Who is John Kerry going to talk to? And where is he going to vacation if there's no ambassador to take him to France?
Right.
So there's that whole side of it. But this isn't actually as big a deal as it's been sold either. I mean, the administration was breathlessly trying to advertise this major national security announcement. This is going to really push back the Chinese. Well, obviously, nuclear subs aren't showing up in Australia tomorrow,
right?
Probably not next year. It's going to take some time. And guess who's going to be a busy bee working on everything during that whole time? It's China. They're already hitting blue water. They're going to the Pacific side of Taiwan. They're showing up in Japanese territorial waters. They're all over the South China Sea. Mm. So this is a real problem now. I don't think this solves that much. There are a bunch of Obama-Biden appointees who think that they're super smart galaxy brains who have been talking about a pivot from the Middle East to Asia for over 10 years. And this, I think, is just the warmed over leftovers of that idea. I just wish it was real, because when it comes down to it, Australia is very far from China. And so it's not going to be as relevant to a Taiwan contingency, a North Korea contingency, or other pushback in the South China Sea soon enough.
Yeah. And that's interesting. You bring up talking with Stephen Yates. You brought up North Korea, because North Korea has joined China in condemning this association. And no matter, and I kind of agree with you, because I think, what did they say, that it's going to be a couple of years of discussion, or at least a year of discussion to try to figure out where to go. Like, how do you not already have this kind of in place? It's not like China just decided to start being a threat, you know, yesterday. That right. To me was a little odd. But they don't like, obviously, China takes the slightest anything as an offense. But North Korea is now being very vocal. And I don't know if this is just Kim Jong-un letting his crazy murderous sister take over some of this aspect of their diplomacy or foreign policy. But you have the tiny tyrants down there in North Korea, and then you have China. They're very critical against this, or very critical of it. Talk to me a little bit about, is this going to solidify Russia and China, and maybe, you know, if they all have a common enemy and they think their common enemy is moving, does it solidify their ties a little bit more than we want to right now? Because I feel like if you're going to make that move, you need to have everything in place and be ready to go, even when you're just announcing that you're thinking about being ready to go. Does that make sense?
It does. Now, to a degree, the snarky response to that is, when Biden goes to the beach or the bunker, bad boys go wild. And that's just what's happening around the world. All the bad people are going to push their agenda. The serious part of it is that this weakness that we have put out there into the world, there's no one that's buying that there's going to be a cost or a pushback. So, I mean, the Chinese are pushing on all cylinders. The North Koreans don't like to be ignored. Sometimes they pop off just to say, hey, we're still here and we want to receive your angry letters again and come and try to pay us off again. And so there's going to be an element of that pushing the envelope in every quarter. The bad people in the Middle East are going to find an option. The bad parts of Putin world, which I understand they just found some new ballots and are going to steal another election. Yay. So that's a thing again. And so there's just all kinds of problems that run out of control, it turns out, when no one is actually doing their freaking job in the United States government, when there's no leadership, no accountability, the commander-in-chief can't stand a few questions that he's not instructed to call upon. And we've got the leaders of Australia, India, Japan coming to D.C. soon for a Quad meeting. And that's just going to make China shiver their timbers. Because they're going to rev up their snarky press releases. But in reality, what can any of these leaders really expect out of Joe Biden? He just bagged on the French. He'll cut and run from any alliance. He left our Afghan allies. So, I mean, there's just no way this gets better. And so, yes, the Chinese are going to push. The North Koreans don't want to miss out on the fun. Unfortunately, there's going to be more bad actors that are going to see a go signal from this.
Goodness. Talking with Stephen Yates. Stephen, last question for you. What does a real purpose-driven shift to the Pacific from the Middle East look like?
Well, number one, you don't leave the Middle East entirely. You keep advancing your interests where they matter. I still think that the United States alliance with Israel matters. I still think that a lot of what was put forward in the Abraham Accords in the last administration matters a great deal. Finding purpose in common prosperity and common security among allies in that region still matters. Why would you cut and run from that? But there's nothing stopping us from telling the truth, empowering our allies, helping them have more of their own deterrent capability, but actually engaging a little bit more seriously in the political warfare that China has been playing much better than we have. So there are some cost-free ways we can make a real pivot, but it takes leadership and commitment. We probably ought to have more people in universities studying the right languages in the right regions and maybe a little less wokery that is influenced by the cultural revolution, more focused on the revolution that's coming our way. So there's a lot of little things that added together could make a big, real move. But a few submarines here or there is not going to make the difference. I wish it were otherwise.
Yeah, that's a good point. Stephen Yates at YatesComms on Twitter. Stephen, always appreciate your time from the Minecraft Lego bunker there in your undisclosed location. Have a good week, my friend. We'll talk with you
again
soon.
Thank you, Dana. Take care.
Take care.
Listen to The Dana Show live on the Odyssey app. Weekdays, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Time.
So if you follow me on Instagram, you guys saw that I was making fun of this one image of dudes that were clearly FBI agents. Clearly. And they were, and there's video of this too. I put this video in Slack, but I don't know if you have it. Or no, wait, I put it in another one. I have like two separate Slack things going at all times. It gets confusing.
There's not much audience.
No, there isn't. But I mean, for the folks watching the simulcast of the radio show, they could see.
How you do, fellow patriots?
Yeah. No, hello, fellow MAGA patriots. Hello. It's like they decided, and you can clearly see in the images that these people were, I mean, these were FBI agents that were posing. And then this one in the video that they have up there, there were they had a whole SWAT team come out. There was more media and SWAT response than there were actual attendees. And they had these police and all their riot gear go up, and they're asking a guy, oh, so hello, fellow dude. Like, what? They're like, what are you here for? What is your name? We need to see your ID. And he pulls out his ID, and it's his badge, because he's like an agent. And they were going, oh, are you undercover? Well, not anymore, geniuses. He kind of went and blew it. And then they have a bunch of guys that all have the same haircut. They all have the same standard military issue watch, you know, all their watches are the same. It was like they went to Vineyard Vines and picked out whatever they thought MAGA people would wear. And then they didn't bother to change the black socks that went with their black trousers normally. And so they showed up there all looking awkward. They all stood together and they were all looking around, same sunglasses, everything. And yeah, it's like, how do you do, fellow? How do you do, fellow patriots? Hello, fellow MAGA patriots. How are you? The images of this are insane. And I was watching this and I was cracking myself up on Instagram.
If only they had half of the SWAT team there, like actually on January 6th, that would have been something.
Oh, yeah, you think? I mean, if they would have had some of that response, you had all the press that was there, but you didn't have any of these people at the actual border. You had none of these people at the actual border. And I'm just like, I'm just mystified at this because you had all the press, all the response, like that heavy police response, everything. And, you know, nobody paid attention at all to what was happening at the border. None of the media, none of anybody else. I mean, I have so many photos and memes of this. It's ridiculous. But that's exactly what it was. I mean, it was these guys, they all wore their Vineyard Vines gear and everything else. Well, hello there, fellow MAGA patriots. We are here to also MAGA. What does that mean? Right? I mean, they showed up like, we've got these, let's all get the same type of shorts from Vineyard Vines, just in like different style, different colors with some patterns. Yes, that sounds like a great idea. I didn't even bring another pair of shoes and socks to change. Just wear the loafers and the black socks that you had with your suit. Sounds great. I'll do that. All standing around. Dude, you could not be more obvious. Oh, they were ready, but not at the border, though. Meanwhile, everybody and their mother's coming over at the border. Yeah. Hey! Come on, like all of Haiti's coming over, apparently. And you have drug cartels making bank. Drug cartels. And then while that's all happening in Del Rio, they're putting all the really dangerous stuff in later, further down. We're gonna have to make fun of Beto tomorrow. It's okay. All right, folks. It's today's stupidity time, isn't it?
It is, actually. All right, this audio comes from Australia. Now, good news and bad news. Good news is eventually you're not going to need a vaccine passport, but here's the bad news.
These sorts of passports are designed to do exactly that. They won't be there forever. I can't say, as I stand here right now, how long it'll be on, how long it'll be a feature of things. But, you know, arguably, it won't be a vaccine passport you'll be showing in the first half of next year.
Oh, yeah?
It'll be your booster passport
to
show that you've been to have your third jab.
Oh.
And that you've still got the protection that comes from either AstraZeneca, Moderna, or...
Little bait and switch to say you won't be needing that vaccine passport.
Oh, yeah.
And then, boom, booster passport.
It's going to be a booster passport. No, you can't take your mask off when you have a pint.
Drinking on the footpath.
When you're on the footpath at the pub. That was like their health minister guy. He sounds like a real party. Folks, that does it for us today. I will be back with you tomorrow. Have a great night.